I had an interesting experience on Erev Shavuos that made me think a lot about a number of things. I sort of knew then that I was going to be talking about this on Thursday night. I wasn't quite sure how it fit into the parsha yet. But it gives one pause for thought about a lot of things. I told a number of you, I'm experimenting now with contact lenses. I've been wearing contact lenses since I was a teenager. But now I'm trying an experiment, number one, the type of contact lenses. Also, what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to wear one contact lens for long vision and the other one for short vision. One for reading and the other one for way out there. Okay, Baruch Hashem, about a half a month into the experiment, and I'm sort of getting used to it, you know, this eye and that eye and this eye and that eye. But Erev Shavuos, I decide, you know what, let's just be normal for a day. Let's go back to the normal way. You're wearing two contact lenses of your regular prescription where you can see with both eyes, far away distance, everything's going to be sharp no matter how you look at things. And then when you have to read, okay, you put on reading glasses like a normal person. And so that's what I did. And I put in both of the contact lenses. And it was sort of like, you know, after you ate from the Eitz Hadas or the Eitz Chaim or whatever, wow, I can see! This is amazing! I go into shul and I can see the Aron Kodesh and I can see a distance, I can see the numbers on the buses no matter how I look at it from whatever angle. I can see far away. It got me to thinking that, you know, when you go out into the world and you see, you have a perspective of the way that things look, not just right in front of you, but at a far distance. So it's a brighter world. It's a happier world. It's a world with promise. Of course, you have to be very careful. Because if you get too swept away in that which is far away from you, so you forget to look at what's right in front of you, which is often the most important. My uncle, the person that I've gained a lot from over the years, when he had his eyes fixed with laser surgery, he told me that he was told by his surgeon that Rav Gedolei Yisrael, when they fix their eyes and they have a choice as to whether to take vision that they can see far away or whether they can see up close better, they all go for close better. Why? Because, you know, what do I care what's going on down the block? I want to be able to look at my Rajba and see it clearly. So, okay, I wasn't feeling like that. Mashkiach told me that before he gives a shmooze a lot of times, I don't know if it's still today, but a lot of times he'll take his glasses off. So I don't want to see the people. I want to see what's in front of my nose. But there is something that's very energizing about putting on a pair of glasses or a couple of contacts, and now you can see the whole world. And using that in its proper way and not using it in the way that it wasn't meant to be used. So that's the Indian that I want to talk about today with regarding this week's Parsha and a couple of other things as well. Parsha's Nasai, a very long Parsha. Most of it is the Karbanos HaNesiim, which we won't even talk about. But you start off with the Aveiros Bnei HaGershuni and Merari, and then we go into Torah HaMachaneh. You got to get rid of Kol Tzaruah, Kol Zav, the Metzora, the Zav, the Tamei LeNefesh. Each one has to go out of the Machaneh at his own level. And then we talk about the Asham Gezelis. A person owes somebody money, and he swears about it falsely, and then he's made that he swore falsely. So he's got to pay Karen V'chaimesh, he's got to bring an Asham. And the addition of the Parsha is that if the one he stole from was a ger, and he has no Yorshim, so you have to give it to the Kayin. From there, we move on to gifts to the Kayin, Truma in passing, and Bikurim. And after that, right after the gifts to the Kohen, so we talk about the Saita. Daber al b'nei Yisrael, v'yamarta aleim, ish ish kisiste ishtoi, Umoala by Moal. We talk about the Saita, the most criminal, the most disgusting of all creatures in the Torah is the Saita. And that's what we have right after Matnas Kahuna. Rashi quotes the Gemara in Brachas. And he asks the Kasha, Maksiv l'malo min ha'inyan, what's right before the Saita? V'ishes kadoshav lo yiyeh. Talking about Matnas Kahuna. Imata ma'akev matnais ha'kayin. If you don't give the matanis to the kain, chayecha, I swear, says Hashem, shetitztarech lovei etzloi, that you're going to have to come to the kain, lohavi loi es ha'saita, to bring him the saita. What's the shaykhis? You don't give the kain his matanis, you're going to have to bring your wife, the saita, to the kain. You know, what kind of, midah keneged midah is that? Okay, kain, kain. But it could have been you're going to have to bring a carbon. It could be that you're going to be a mitzvah and you're going to need the kain to pask in the shayla. What's the deal over here? You don't give the kain his matanis, so all of a sudden, so your wife becomes a saita. There's a klei yakar on the topic. There's a maral on the topic. There are all kinds of interesting shtiklich Torah over here as to what one has to do with the other. But another question. I wanted to say something to tie the whole thing together. There's another interesting aspect to the Saita. What does the word Saita actually mean? So Rashi actually has two pshatim. He alludes to both aspects. Ishki siste ishtai, over here siste, the way that it's written is with a shin, like shaita. Shonu rabbi seinu ena manafim noyafim at shetikones behem ruach shtus. Anybody who engages in adultery is insane. All chatoim, if you do any chet, you're insane. But this particular, you don't get into this until you lose your mind. Until you become insane on some level. Dechstiv kisiste. That's one pshat. Pshutai shal mikra, says Rashi, kisiste, sot midarkei atznius. You swerve off of the ways of privacy. The Ibn Ezra says it's slightly different. The Ibn Ezra says, Sister, tosur me'aderech ayishara. You go off of the straight way. If a person is erlich, if a person is straight, you're never going to have problems with znus. Once a person stops being straight, so then you've got problems with saita. V'chein sata me'olav avor. The lashon of swerving, of not being straight, not being the derech ayasha. My question, and this is what I wanted to address along with the first one, what does Saita have to do with Matnas Kahuna, is what's the common denominator between these two pshatim? A Saita is a Shaita. She's nuts. He's nuts. They both lose their mind. On the other hand, a Saita is somebody who swerves. A Yashar is a straight person. Erlach, straight as an arrow. All of the Saita is a person who is Sata. She goes off of that. But what's the common denominator between being nuts and between not being straight? And Be'ez Hashem, try to put both of these together and get an insight into contact lenses and a number of other different things in life as well. the night after Shavuos, So I had a different type of experience. One of my kids comes over to me, it's Matzei Shavuos, and she says, okay, Abba, you have a tafkid. I didn't like the sound of that. Anytime somebody comes to you and says, you've got a tafkid, you know that you're in for trouble. And I was right, because she came to me and she said, whatever, so-and-so, there's a lady who's 96 years old, Arichas Yamim, or whatever, and she passed away on Erev Yom Tov. And the reason I had a tafkid was because she was somebody that my wife was pretty close with, and she did a lot for our family, and I had to tell her. What was the story? The story was that this woman, I would say it goes back about 20 years ago, she had or has two children, sons, both of whom were hard of hearing. I think she has another one who also had learning difficulties. And a tough lady, amazing lady, of, you know, Yekish descent, who grew up in Germany. And she started her own school. And she's one of these people that, you know, whatever, a real world beater, a real doer. And 20 years ago, so they, every once in a while, you know, you would have these drushes or speeches or whatever where they would invite people in to talk, you know, to people who had children with special needs. And this lady spoke. And my wife came back and she was just absolutely blown away. For better or for worse, most of the speakers were like, okay, fine. They said this, they said that, they gave this insight. This lady, it was just her whole attitude to the whole thing. This is somebody that I can gain from. And as a result of that, so my wife basically put together a support group and asked this lady to lead the support group. And every month or so for like the last, you know, I would say it's close to 20 years already, been getting together with this lady in her home, and she would lead it. I was a Carbon Seabor once. They asked me to speak, and I made a mistake. I decided I'm giving a two-part lecture series. The first part of the lecture series is going to be to go through my own personal experience and to just, you know, talk about how it feels and what people go through under these circumstances, you know, where things don't work out the way that you want them to in life. I never really made it to the second lecture in the lecture series because this lady was so straight and so tough that she was, I mean, in a nice way though, she was just like, well, what do you mean? That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. We don't have any questions. Nothing bothers us. We just see, we see the tafkid, and we do. And that's the way that she was. They're a tremendous chizik to us over all the years. In any case, she was 96 years old. And she was nifter on Erev Yontif. 3:30 in the afternoon. What do you do? 3:30 in the afternoon. So listen to what they did. They lived with her family. They went. They didn't have time for the Chevra Kadisha. They got her to Shamgar by themselves. They did the Taira. They did the Kvura. They sat Shiva before Yontif started. And by the time Shavua started, the whole thing was over. The Levaya, the Taira, the Levaya, the Shiva, and Zehu. That's it. But this incredibly chashuv woman. The next morning, after Shavuos, there's a little sign up about this big, writing that she was nifter, beautifully written. The one thing over there that you like had a concept of like who you were talking about was it said the words Ha'isha HaChashuva. But not even in like a line by itself, you know, Ha'isha Chashuva with like songs coming out of it. No, it was, you know, just Ha'isha Chashuva, it was lost in the text. Why? Because that's what she wanted. That's who she was. I was thinking about it in contrast to what's been going on the last 3-4 weeks. You know, not to put down, but we've had a lot of tragedies over the last number of weeks since Lag BaOmer. You know, I heard one guy asking the Rosh Yeshiva, you know, should I go to the Shiva? Should I go to the Shiva, one of the people from Meron or whatever? And I've read a lot about how, you know, people get incredible chizik from all these strange people showing up to the Shiva. This one wasn't from, and this one was different. This one's a different family or whatever. The Rosh Yeshiva's attitude toward it was, there are certain things which are personal, and then there are certain things which are for Pearson. Things like Shivas, things like Levayas, things which are personal, these are things that have to do with the person themselves. And it was such a stark contrast to me that this lady, who was such a hush of a lady, the family took care of it in a quiet way, very discreet, without any fanfare. Why? Because this is what she wanted and this is what they wanted, and no one else really has to know. A person has to have their own private life. There are times that you have to go public. But when a person's whole life is their public life, the way the people see them, how big the sign is going to be after I was nifter, how big the sign is going to be when I come to town, so then who's you? Who are you? Do you have a life? Sometimes we can be so far-sighted, we can look at the big picture. It's so exciting to look so far away that we forget to look what's right in front of us. And if we get those two things confused, so then oftentimes we miss the entire point. What's the reason for the Saita that somebody who doesn't take care of his Matnas Kahuna, he ends up bringing his wife to the Beis HaMikdash to the same Kayin, and his wife is a Saita? What's the combination of insanity and a person who's not straight? So the idea that popped into my mind was as follows. There are two parts of a person's life. There's his own private life, and there's what's directly nogea to him, and then there's what's on the outside. And sometimes a person gets confused. When a person is straight, when a person has money, a person knows, listen, I've got to pay my taxes, I've got to give my money to the kohen, I have to take care of that which is mine, and that which is mine I get to keep, and that which is not mine goes somewhere else. Why? Because it has nothing to do with me. The truma has nothing to do with me. My taxes have nothing to do with me. The things which are part of my money which is not mine, it doesn't have anything to do with me. Okay? So therefore, give it away. But people who blur the lines and they think, you know, whatever it is, just because of the fact that it's in my purview, so then I can get away with it. So even things which don't belong to them, they end up making their way into the picture. Truma, okay, it's a gift to the Kohen, but come on, after all, it came from my farm, I worked for it. So I'll cheat a little bit on my taxes. So I won't give miser, so I'll give, you know, whatever, instead of 1/10, so then I'll give 1/11. What's the difference? It's mine anyway. But it's not yours. It belongs in the background. It doesn't really have shaychus to you. And so therefore, you stop being yashar. When a person stops being yashar, says Rashi, ain't the davar seif. You're not yashar on 10%. On truma, you're not going to be yashar in Yishalom Bayis. You're not going to be yashar in your relationships with people. You're not going to be loyal to your fellow man. And ad kedei kach, that the most disloyal person in the entire world, the saita, could come out of your house. Why? Just because you changed 10% to 11%. Or 10% to 9%. Or because you figured the truma, alright, it's not so obligatory. The Kohen will do without it this week. Who really cares? The minute I confuse that which is in front of me and that which is mine with that which doesn't belong to me, then ein l'davar seif. And that's the insanity of the Saita. When a person starts to stop being yashar, when a person starts to swerve, so memelo, what ends up happening is you get insane. In the beginning, you're insane by a little bit. But then more, and more, and more, and more. And then afterwards, you can even have a saita. And then even the saita could be a mitzvah. And then you could, you know, whatever. It could be a super mitzvah. Because when you confuse that which is really shayach to you and that which is not shayach to you, so then ain l'davar seif. It's very interesting. I came across it also over Shavuos. I've been speaking out a lot of Rav Hirsch lately, and I always felt that there are certain nakudas which are machleikasin between Rav Hirsch and the Netziv. I found one over Shavuos. They both end up saying the same thing, but each one his own sprach, and there is a machleikas. It's on this nakuda. Rav Hirsch was very, very pro. He was excited about emancipation. When the Jews were let out of the ghetto, he felt that that was a positive development for mankind. Why? Because of the fact that it shows that people are, you know, whatever, people are growing up. People are maturing in their education. They're becoming more human. And you can do more for them, you can do more with them. Which is exactly what Yiddishkeit is about. So we're on the right path. Comes the Netziv, and the Netziv says, right, but wrong. Nesaticha al goyim is right. It's our job to educate the goyim. However, said the Netziv, the only way to educate the goyim is by staying in the ghetto of Goshen. He says this in Shari Yisrael, he says it in other places. You have to stay in the ghetto, you have to stay in your own little circle, and then once you're in your own little circle, then you'll be able to educate everybody else. Jews are nizdame to esh. Goyim are nizdame to fire. What happens when you mix fire with water? The fire puts out the water puts out the fire, right? But if you've got a divider, if you have a piece of metal in between, so then the esh heats up the water. Then the Jews can heat up the goyim, the Jews can educate the goyim. Rav Hirsch Be'etzim says the same thing. The only thing is whereas the Netziv holds that the pan is the ghetto, is Goshen, is Kovna or Warsaw, and New Square, right? Vizhnitz. So Rav Hirsch basically says that the ghetto, the walls of the ghetto are basically the Torah itself. And so therefore Washington Heights is okay also. You have Washington Heights, you don't need to have a caged-in square, a new square, because of the fact that you have the Torah. The Torah itself separates you from the Goyim, and that's good enough. But all will agree is that there are two circles. There's our inner circle, and then there's the outer circle. The inner circle is what we have to focus on. We have to focus on that which is ours. We have to do Mekayim Torah Mitzvahs. We have to learn, we have to do our mitzvahs, and then the Satich Ar Goyim. Whether we need the insulation of a ghetto or whether we don't, okay, that's subject to discussion. Riyas, this way, that way, the other way. But a person always has to make sure that he focuses first on what's his, and then afterwards, take a look at what's out there. Wearing contact lenses where you can see a long way is very, very inspiring. Why? Because when the world is too small and too myopic, so it's not very exciting. And so therefore you really need both. You really do have to have a good broad view of everything and feel that whatever I'm going to do in my life is going to be mashpia on myself, my family, my village, the world. It keeps you going. On the other hand, the person has to realize that the most important thing and the thing that he can really make a difference in right now and always is the thing which is his and the thing that's right in front of him. And that's how a person has to live every day of his life. There are the things which are shayach to you, there are the things which you have to take care of right now, the things which are chayvis, which are absolutely a chayv that you're responsible to do, and that has to come first. After that, there's a ripple effect. The ripple effect is that everything that we do in our life, in our family, in this Beis Medrash, everywhere else, so it has a ripple effect, and it can affect people and walks of life way outside of us. Ad kedei kach am satich or legoyim, that's the job of a Jew, is to make sure that la'asid lavayir, and as soon as possible, that the whole world becomes educated, al pi the derech that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants them to be. Be'ez Hashem, that should happen very soon, and have a good Shabbos.